Hear the word of the Lord. So then, putting away falsehood, let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them work and labor honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your word may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for you, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again we come to this place with the woes of the week resting upon us. Father, we pray that we might clear a clean spot so that we might hear what you would have us to hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So to really understand this scripture, we got to back up about 8 verses and see what Paul is talking about in starting in verse 17. And basically, he is telling the people that you can no longer live the way that you have lived. You can, you know, he says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. Now, I find this a little bit ironic that he is saying, don't live by the Gentiles. And yet it is Paul that is the one that goes out into the Gentile world and preaches the word. But he starts out saying, you know, don't live as you have lived. Don't live in ignorance of God. Don't lose your sensibility. And don't let yourself get into greed and other things. And then he comes back and he tells the Ephesians, basically, here are the rules for this new life that you have in Jesus Christ. Now, I gotta say this, and I'm very sorry that Mr. Warburton is not here, because he'd probably cringe when I'd say this, but as I was reading this passage, I couldn't help but think about the wonderful season that we find ourselves in, every 4 years, the presidential election cycle. I couldn't help thinking about that. So Paul starts off, so then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors. Now, who has not told a little white lie to our children, to our spouse, to our family members, and God forbid, to our mothers and fathers? What Paul is saying is you shouldn't lie. You shouldn't try to deceive. You should be honest in your dealings. We need to speak the truth, for we are members of one another. We are a community. We are a Christian community within a larger community. And Paul is saying, don't lie to anyone. It's tough. It's tough. You know, something comes up and you don't want to look bad. So you try to dance around the truth. It's another image to burn in your mind, Ken. Because we owe it not only for the new life that we have in Christ, but we owe it to each other to be honest and true. For we are indeed members of one another. And how we act affects other people, whether we know them well or we don't know them at all. Be angry, but do not sin. Now that seems, why is Paul saying, be angry? Anger is a bad thing, isn't it? Sometimes it is. How many times over the last couple of days have you heard a news report or you've heard a political commercial and it just riled you? How many of you got angry? Okay, I did. I'm going to admit that. Okay. Anger at falsehoods is a good thing. Anger at things that are trying to divide us is a good thing. But we must be careful. Be angry, but do not sin. Be careful how you respond to whatever it is that has made you angry. First off, do I really need to be angry about this? Do I really need to be upset? And if I do, how do I take and respond? Do I get on Facebook and just write an angry, venom-filled post about how evil that political party is or that candidate or that person? Nope. When you do stuff like that, when you intentionally try to tear something or someone down, you are sinning. That's a sin. There's a difference between trying to correct something and trying to and yelling and screaming, so to speak, at people. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, this is a famous thing that, you know, you always are told in marriage, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, guess what? That's not just for married couples. It's for all of us. How many of you have gone to bed angry, not necessarily at your spouse, but you're angry at something that you've read or something that you heard or something that is going on, and you go to bed angry? You got a tough time falling asleep. Again, I'll raise my hand high on that one. Don't let your anger be there when the sun goes down, and do not make room for the devil. I'm not making room for the devil. I'm just trying to correct those people that are obviously wrong with what they're saying, or is telling lies, or is doing something else. No, no, there's no room for the devil there. Wrong. The more that you get wrapped up in that anger, the more that you're like, I'm right, you're wrong, here's why. Attitudes like that. That's the devil coming in and saying, ha, 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 I'm going to use this person to breed chaos in the world. Thieves must give up stealing. Oh my gosh. I could go on and on about that. Thieves must give up stealing, rather let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. This speaks to us because, as Christians, because we have obligations that we need to do. We have things that we are called to do to help the poor, to help the downtrodden, to help the people that are going through hard times. Well, a lot of us just like to coast along. I'm just going to take in the grace and the glory and the forgiveness. I'm just going to take this all in. I'm going to steal this from Jesus. If he's going to give it to me, might as well take it. It's akin to going down to the Dollar General and shoplifting things. It's thievery. We are called, as Paul calls the thieves, to do an honest day's work. So that there is something to share with the needy. Now, obviously, you know, the thing that comes up is if you're working and you're making a paycheck and you're getting money, yeah, you've got living expenses, but you can also take and use that to support God's kingdom here on earth, either by giving to the church here, by giving to other organizations, or even slipping the guy that is in the median of the road with a cardboard sign that says, I need food, slipping him $5 or whatever. We do that here with the Food City carts. People need food. People need gas. Here you go. I'm not going to worry about if they're using it for something else, which really, you know, I can't think of anything. That's why we do the food cards. But you need to do all that you can, both in work and in your work in the world to make your income, but you also need to do the work that we are called to in Jesus Christ. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that the words may give grace to those who hear. All right, let's be honest again. You don't have to raise your hands. How many of you have a lot of evil talk coming out of your mouth, coming out of your keyboard, even coming out of your head. It's a lot. How many of us have road rage on the highways? How many of us get upset because the person out on I-81 is actually doing 65 miles an hour and we are stuck behind them? Get a move on! How many of us get upset when someone doesn't use their blinker? Oh my gosh. That'll get me from zero to red-faced very fast. See, the thing about evil talk is evil talk divides us. When we have evil talk, when we talk about someone else, when we talk about something else, and it's just all negative, and how dare they consider doing this? How dare they consider this particular policy? How dare they? All that does in that manner, is drive a wedge into a situation, drives a wedge between people, in some cases drives a wedge in the middle of a family. Everything that we say and everything that we should do, we should strive to be building up, to uniting and not dividing, to finding ways forward. When we speak, we should be sprinkling grace upon whoever or whatever it is that we are talking to and talking and talking about. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. I was confused by that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What, has the Holy Spirit died or something? I have to grieve its passing? And in anybody... Does anybody know what it means if you grieve someone? Make them sad. You grieve them. How many, you know, all of us have grieved our parents at some point. All of us parents have been grieved by our children at certain times. What Paul is saying here is in everything that you do, in everything that you say, make sure that you are not grieving the Holy Spirit. Everything that you do and say should not make the Holy Spirit smack its forehead and go, no! Ken, why are you doing that? You're an easy target. I'm sorry. I'll pick on. I gotta find somebody else to pick on. I can't pick on Holly. So, anyhow, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Now, if someone grieves you, if they grieve you enough, what are you gonna do? I like that idea. I'm going to knock the dirt off of them. And okay, you know what? That's the way you're going to be. Good luck. Even though the things that we do, we grieve the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit never wipes its hand of us because we have been sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is never going to leave us, which is a comforting thought, especially with some of the stuff that we've done, if you think about it, in our lives. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice. How many of you know a bitter person? Hey, none of that. None of that. Describe a bitter person to me. Unhappy. What else? Anything? When you're dealing with a bitter person, do you want to deal with a bitter person? No. Why? Because they always seem to be angry. Nothing is right. They're mean. If there's anything wrong with a person or wrong with a situation, that's what they latch on to. Do you really like dealing with a bitter person? Do you think people want to deal with you if you are a bitter person? Do you think anybody is going to say, you know what? I need to go to their church. I need to have what she has. I need to know this guy. No! They're going to say, I'm staying as far away from that as I possibly can. If it turns this person bitter, put away bitterness and wrath. Let's go back to road rage. How many of you wish that you had a laser cannon or something, or you had a nice big bumper on the front of your car that you wouldn't hurt and you would go up and hit the back of the person? I love what Bill Engvall once said. He said, you should be able to treat road rage like they do in NASCAR. You get up, you get underneath the back of their car, you loosen them up, and you put them in the wall. I know. But you fought that. We've all fought that. We all are like, you know what? I'm going to get them back. Again, that's not good. It's a bearing of a false witness to what Jesus is. Put away wrath and wrangling and slander. Oh my gosh, did you see what she had on today? Oh my gosh, that's very trashy. Can you believe that he actually said that? Put away slander. Put away malice. And be kind to one another. Preachers, don't know. Don't say that. Don't say that. I don't want to be kind to them. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let's face it, my friends. We have done more to upset God than anyone that upsets us. And yet, God is merciful. God is kind. Again, we talked about how the Holy Spirit, no matter how much we might grieve it, is not going to leave us. Even when we are being little buttheads, God is still kind and tenderhearted. and forgives us. Guess what, people? That's what we are called to do. That bitter person, that person that is at the grocery store that has 25 items in the 15 item aisle, you're supposed to be kind to them. You're supposed to be kind to the people that yell at you, that slander you. Oh my gosh. Pastor, no, no. We are to do it because we are to be imitators of Christ. And Christ, again, has forgiven us. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. You know, as parents, we all hope that our children catch the good stuff that we do and, you know, filter out, you know, all of the bad stuff. God wants us to be imitators of Him as His beloved children. You're called to live in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. How much did Christ love us? How much did Christ love the church? He loved the church so much that He gave everything to save her. He gave everything to save all of us. Why? Because He loves us. And because He loves us, and because He is kind to us and forgives us, He expects the same thing from us. Let he that hath ears listen. Amen.